permission also to say that last Tuesday we had our consultant board meeting for the promotion of the association teaching the Catholic faith. And it was agreed that we will open the association to everyone, but concentrating on the laity. And what I'll be doing in the next few days is writing to the Vatican Superior, who is behind this, Cardinal Sanchez, because Bishop Buskovitz of Lincoln, Nebraska, will help in organizing bishops in the United States who wish to cooperate in this association. As the Holy See keeps telling me, unless you get the bishops behind you, you are on your own. Pray, therefore, that we will be able to get enough strong bishops to back an effort to teach the Catholic faith, and especially to the millions of American Catholics who, as you know, are woefully uneducated, or at least undereducated in their understanding of what our Catholic faith teaches. I wish also to share with you just briefly all day yesterday I was in Washington. We had the first meeting of an organization sponsored by the Archbishop of Moscow, and the association is called Aid to the Catholic Church in Moscow. The potential converts to the Catholic Church in Russia is past belief. Thousands, and no doubt collectively even millions. But you name it, and they lack it. They need churches. There are vocations. Young men want to study for the priesthood. They don't have books. They don't have churches. They don't have schools. We spend the whole day planning. I happen to be a member of the board of directors of that organization started by the Archbishop of Moscow, with whom I had three conferences when I was with him in conversation. I will keep you informed, but the potential is so great, and being a Slav myself, I know how many of those Slav people, millions, have suffered for the faith. Many of my own blood relatives who died under communism. I will keep you informed, and then how we can cooperate financially, of course, but not only, more than later on. And now we begin our class, which is on the Gospel of Life. I believe we finished question 37. By now, you should have received, am I correct, up to and including question 61. Everyone have a copy? This manuscript will, of course, be published. Whatever corrections, changes have to be made, will be made. But this, then, is our textbook. Number 38. How does the Holy Father describe our century? In his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, the Holy Father quotes the statement he made in Denver on the occasion of the World Youth Conference Day in 1993. I think the whole statement, I'm afraid most Americans would not even remember the statement was made. But it is devastating. Says the Pope, with time, the threats against life have not grown weaker. They are not like threats coming from the outside, from the forces of nature or of Cains who kill the Abels. No, they are scientifically and systematically programmed threats. Whatever you learn from this course, be sure you know there is a highly financed, carefully planned, scientifically oriented culture of death, which is out to kill a certain percentage of people in the human race every year. The last figures for 94, the official figures, and how thrilled the United Nations was. The official figures were 65 million killed by abortion. However, you'll get copies, hopefully, by our next class. The Eternal Life organization that we have started, as I'm sure most of you know, has recently published a little paperback, analyzed by a scientifically educated pharmacist in pharmacology. The figure for the number of murders committed not surgically by abortion, but medically by contraception is between 11 and 14 million every year in our country. When doing my graduate studies in biochemistry here in Denver, before and immediately after my ordination, I cannot tell you how thrilled I was to be told by superiors to leave my doctoral studies in science and go into theology. Already then, I saw how scientists were inventing the latest means of cutting down on the population of the human race. They continue, the 20th century will have been an era of massive attacks on life, an endless series of wars, and the continual taking of innocent human life. False prophets and false teachers have had the greatest success. And, as we said during the homily at Mass, one country after another, the Episcopal conferences formally, explicitly, openly, in the clearest language, approved contraception, including the hierarchy of the United States. The marvel is that only 42 parishes closed in Detroit. I repeat, I know, and this is years of study in biochemistry, research on all kinds of drugs and medicines. I know of no contraceptive which does not kill the so-called embryo. I don't know one. Talk about the century of murder. This is it. Question 39. How can we reconcile the proclamations on human rights with the widespread denial of the very right to human life throughout the world? Answer of the Holy Father, they are an open contradiction. All the talk about defending human rights, says the Pope, quote, is a merely futile exercise of rhetoric if we fail to unmask the selfishness of the rich countries which exclude poorer countries from access to development, or make such access dependent on arbitrary prohibitions against prohibition, setting up an opposition between development and man himself. Let me tell you, this Pope is using, and I mean it, the strongest language I've ever read in any papal document. He is now available in the writings of the present Pope. All the talk about human rights, says the Holy Father, what is it? A futile exercise in rhetoric, lest we unmask the selfishness of rich countries, which exclude poorer countries from access to development, or make such access for assistance depend on these richer countries providing assistance to the poorer nations. I'm asking, O Lord, to protect my language. But there is no nation on earth that is more guilty than the United States for the carefully planned murder of millions in poor countries. Period. One of the reasons for the phenomenal wealth of the United States is, I want to say it, this is blood money. The wealth of our country is in large measure due to the exploitation of countries that are poor, and we've made, pardon, I will not use the word, sure, how these countries are poor. Every nation below the Rio Grande is desperately poor, and mainly I'm watching my words because of the selfishness, quoting the Holy Father, of rich nations. 25 years of working with the Holy See, I speak with complete and certain conviction. Coming in from the airport last night, I was in Washington for 2 days. Huge lighted billboard sign advertising, well, one of our automobiles. And a human being comfortably seated in an armchair, and the automobile is advertised. If you want all the comfort of your favorite armchair, but faster, then buy this automobile. You are the most spoiled, overfed, underworked nation in the world. And you know what I'm doing? I'm in my own, shall I say, quiet rhetoric, contributing to the unmasking of the rich countries. I'll also add this. Now, the last day, as Christ foretold, we shall be mainly judged on our practice of charity. Very well. Very well. But I know enough theology to say it won't be just individuals. It will also be nations will be judged. Question 40. What is the most fundamental error behind this open contradiction of human rights proclaimed and the right to human life so widely denied? Says the Pope, the most fundamental error is the denial that human freedom must be based on the truth. It was the famous Catholic British historian Lord Acton who coined the phrase, "Oh liberty, oh liberty, how many crimes have been committed in your name," unquote. In the words of Pope John Paul II, when freedom, however desire to emancipate itself from all forms of tradition and authority, shuts out even the most obvious evidence of an objective and universal truth, which is the foundation of personal and social life, then the person ends up by no longer taking as a soul an indisputable point of reference for his own choice the truth about good and evil, but only his own subjective and changeable opinion, or in fact his own selfish interest and whim. Liberty apart from dependence on God is a lie. We have freedom from God. Every one of us, except for the infinite, loving, almighty power of God, would be the nothing we were before God in his creative power brought us into existence. And among the powers he gave us was our freedom. That we are only asked truly free. And even as I use those words, I say to myself, oh heart, don't waste your breath. Americans believe in liberty. Dear God, they sure do. And what is liberty? What I want to do. And dependent on no other will accept my own. And the laws of our nation are being changed radically to conform to what is becoming a national practice. 41. What are the consequences of this view of freedom? The consequences are disastrous. The very meaning of society is distorted and even denied. The very idea of a society which promotes the common good is erased. In its stead, there is created either, and watch this, either an anarchy, which means the disintegration of the state, or totalitarianism, which means a tyrant state which arrogates to itself the right to dispose of the life of the weakest and most defenseless members, from the unborn child to the elderly. I made a holy hour this morning before I left for Detroit, asking, O Lord, to enlighten me. I foresaw I should say some things I do not ordinarily say in public, at least of all being recorded, and I think even being videotaped. There is every ground on earth today for a civil war. Do you hear me? Every ground on earth for a civil war. There have been civil wars. Our own civil war. When some people still believed in the rights of the blacks not to be enslaved by the whites. Thank God that civil war was won the way it was. Thousands of lives had to be sacrificed to win that war. In the Catholic Church's teaching, when does a nation have a right to a civil war? When, and I now quote the Holy Father, when the very idea of a society which promotes the common good is erased. That's the only reason for having a government, to promote the common good. In its stead, there is created an anarchy. Anarchy means lawlessness. And just because we use the word L-A-W doesn't make that directive a law. There is no law. It doesn't exist. As a parody of the truth, unless it conforms to the law of God. Do you hear me? No law exists. It's meaningless. And when a whole nation is being subjected to those in power, oh, they have power. Yes, they have power. If you resist their lawlessness, then you become a victim. And you are imprisoned, or worse still, destroyed. Question 42. What is the deepest root of the present struggle between the culture of life and the culture of death? I trust you see why I've done what I did. I might have assigned the reading of Evangelium Vitae and hope that you would be able to cope with the Holy Fathers. Needless to say, not always simple language. What I've done is, well, read and try to master the document myself, and then, faithful to his teaching, put it into question and answer form so you would get to the point of what the Pope is saying. He's asking, what is the deepest root of this struggle between the culture of life and the culture of death? And I'm speaking to people who represent the culture of life. As some of you may know, 5 years I taught at Western Michigan University in our blessed state of Michigan. After 5 years, I became, as we say, a persona non grata. I was hired, paid a good salary, and had to pay a heavy income tax. Well, my last public appearance in the auditorium of Western Michigan University. I have a copy of that talk, by the way, in case you're interested. The showdown came over abortion. It was a debate by the leading abortionists on the faculty of Western Michigan University and yours truly, this character called Father Harden. How thrilled I was to witness to my faith for several thousand students and faculty members. Grateful for spending 5 years among you people, sharing with you the truth. I am sorry to be leaving, but I thought I'd explain to you why. Once an academic institution departs from the truth, then of course those who still, I won't call it courage, I'll call it brazenness, to still teach the truth. What a mild statement. Their contracts are terminated. What then is the deepest root of this struggle? Says the Holy Father, The deepest root of this struggle is the loss of the sense of God. Once this is lost, there follows the loss of the sense of man. The analogy between these two losses is that of cause and effect. Once the mind is blinded to the existence of God as the creator and destiny of man, man's life and dignity lose all their meaning. And that is why we must, all of us, and I mean every syllable of the following sentence, we must spend all the time we can in communication with God. We must all spend as much time as we can in communication with God. Because if we lose contact with God, we lose contact with that reality, capital, which alone gives us contact with the real world in which we live. No wonder, as I've said more than once, I'm sure to most of you, why 90% of all the library, 90% of all the library loans of books in the United States are fiction. America is living in a dream world. And the surest way of lapsing into a somnambulism where you're walking in your dream is to lose contact with God by not praying enough, praying constantly. That's not a pious adverb, my friends. That's not a pious adverb. That's a condition for sanity. Question 43. What is necessary for those who are promoting the culture of death? Says the Holy Father, they must repent. Like David, they must tell the Lord, my offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done. And it is very hard to convert abortionists. Thank God that so many women I've dealt and am dealing with more than my share of women who have had abortions. Thank God those at least they enter my life are sorry, repent, crushed. Often their problem is to live a normal life. They can be overwhelmed by what can be a positive living nightmare. Once it dawns on them, what they've done. Pray for the conversion of those behind the crime of abortion. And it will take, I assure you, a miracle of grace. We call those, as you know, moral miracles. 44. How is the culture of death dominated by secularism? My friends, these are not words. You've got to use words. But they express ideas. The culture of death is dominated by secularism. Why? Because the world, that's saeculum in Latin, has become the only reality which the secularists recognize. They are therefore blinded to the true meaning of man as a creature of God whose life on earth is a prelude towards eternal life with God. More than once, I've asked myself, sometimes as now publicly, Lord, why did you in your mercy decide to keep me on earth? Shall I add, this long? I give a course, 3-hour classes every week, 2 semesters, 15 classes. Well, for 15 weeks of class every semester. God's providential purpose for a long life. And how this needs to be looked at. I did tell you, didn't I? When I was involved in a litigation against a state-supported home for the aged in Maryland. A registered nurse kept a record for 5 years. She came up with 3,000 elderly people murdered in that so-called old folks' home. How we need to understand, why does God want, and by the way, the average now for the United States is 30 years longer than Americans are living than they lived in 1900. 30 years! You multiply, is it some 250 million people we've got in our country now? Times 3 is what? 750 million. Am I correct? Not correct. Times 10 is 7 billion 500 million years have been added to the lifespan of every American in our country since the dawn of the present century. Well, of course, this would need to explain the meaning in the eyes of Christianity for God's wonderful providential plan of keeping people longer on earth. I give you one reason: to give God more glory. 7 billion 500 million more years of serving God and glorifying Him that much more by their selfless love of the Creator, except for whom they would not exist. If there is one verb that should be removed from the English vocabulary, it is the verb to, when a person reaches a certain age, what is done to that person? Retired. That, and I mean this deliberately, is a demonic lie. No human person retires, period. That's a lie. That's a lie. Retires from what? From being used by our industrialized society to enable those who are younger to enjoy themselves. What is the net effect of a culture of secularism? The net effect, says the Pope, is to lead to a practical materialism which breathes, they're big words, but believe me, they are widespread, which breeds individualism, utilitarianism, and hedonism. And I thought, since the Pope used those words, I think we should explain them. So the next three questions will obviously be a definition of terms. What is individualism? Individualism is the philosophy that places the interest of each person above the welfare of society. It is the subordination of the common good of many to the private good of the individual. In practice, it is the sacrifice of social values to the personal desires of those who are most aggressive in demanding that society recognize their individual liberty. And this individualism is being fostered among the youngest children. Did you know that? I may have shared this with you. I never thought I'd be called on by the District of Columbia to testify in a case against a father who spanked his daughter. I know the father, I know the daughter. She deserved to be spanked. No harm done to the daughter's body. Reported this to the school officials, they to the police, and the father was arrested. No questions asked, just arrested. Tried for cruelty. The same District of Columbia that, until I came to Detroit, has the highest crime rate in the nation. What am I saying? No. Now Washington has the highest rate. It used to be Detroit. Now Detroit has the second largest crime rate in the nation. Washington, D.C. has the highest. Then for about a year, the father was placed, under surveillance, and I was appointed by the District of Columbia for him to report periodically to me with my background in psychology. To assume the father was mentally off because he spanked his daughter. Individual liberty. How long has the O.J. Simpson trial been going on now? Is it over a year? What is it? Except a dramatic canonization of individual liberty. What the person does, whether it's a crime or an act of kindness, does not matter. In fact, it is especially the criminals who are protected by the law. I never thought I'd say that. You know why? Because there are criminals who are making the laws. Unquote. And I'm making sure I am both videotaped and recorded. What is utilitarianism? This is the philosophy that identifies the useful as the good. It further holds that the morality of human conduct is determined by the usefulness of a human action. Implied in utilitarianism is that something is useful if it justifies this worldly desires. And that's it. And the great philosophy of utilitarianism.